Today's shiur is Masechta Menachos Daf Mem Hei, and we will begin on Daf Mem Dal Rama Beis at the Mishnah at the bottom of the Yomid. It says the Mishnah, Haparim Ve'elim Ve'akvasim. The Parim, Elim, Ve'akvasim that are brought as Karbonis, Eimakfin Ezezeh. We're speaking about the Musaf that's brought on Rosh Chodesh, the Musaf that's brought on different Yom Tovim, and different numbers of animals, but all these Musafim have Parim, Elim, and Kvasim. Actually, the Mishnah has the word Seirim, but as we see it, it's in parentheses, because the halacha is that we never bring more than one Sawyer. So if our Mishnah is discussing the halacha, if all of these animals are essential or not, it's obviously not speaking about the Seirim, because there's only one Sawyer brought in the first place. So the Mishnah paskins that, and we'll discuss in great length in the Gemara exactly which carbon the Mishnah is referring to, that the animals, one is not mak of the other. Shimon, Aymer, says of Shimon, Im Hoylam Paramarubim, if they had many animals, the Lord Hoylam Nesachim, but they didn't have money to buy Nesachim, says Rav Shimon, it's better to Yavi Parechov in Nesachim, to bring just one par and its Nesachim, rather to bring all the animals without bringing along with their Nesachim. Obviously, as we will see even clearly in the Gemara, the Rabbanan dispute Rav Shimon, and the Rabbanan's opinion is that it's better to bring the Karbonis than to bring the Nesachim. Although, I did see that the Chafetz Chaim in the Sefer Likutei Halachos discusses that could be that the opinion of the Rabbanan that it's better to bring the animals than to bring the Nesachim is only in a situation where you're bringing the required amount of animals. So Rabbanan say it's better to bring the required amount of animals than to bring the Nesachim. However, if we're not bringing the required amount of animals, they just don't have enough animals, or they don't have enough funds for the animals, it could well be, says the Chafetz Chaim in the Likutei Halachos, that even the Rabbanan will agree that bring less animals than and bring along the Nesachim. Furthermore, in understanding the opinion of Rav Shimon, points out the Rashba, we're only referring to a situation where we have money, and there's only a certain amount of money, and there's a machlokes, what should better be done with that money. However, says the Chafetz Chaim, says the Rashba, that if the animals were already purchased, and they already therefore they already designated for the Karbonis, even Rav Shimon will agree, says the Rashba, that the animals should be brought and not sell those animals that were already designated to use and to buy Nesachim with the sale of the animals. Another issue that the Mefarshim point out is that we learned in our previous year that the halach is that maybe a person could bring a carbon today and the Nesachim many days later. So therefore, ask the Mefarshim, why does Rav Shimon say that he should rather bring the Nesachim along with the carbon? Why not just wait until you'll have funds for the Nesachim? But the animals you can't wait with. The animals you must bring today. So wouldn't it be better just to bring the Karbonis today and bring the Nesachim later? So some Mefarshim say it's obvious that Rav Shimon doesn't agree with that concept. And Shimon's opinion is that no, you have to bring the Nesachim on the same day as you bring the carbon. Others say it's not necessarily that Rav Shimon completely disputes that halacha. It could be that Rav Shimon is only speaking here about a carbon tzibur, and by a carbon tzibur, Rav Shimon will hold that you have to bring the carbon on the Nesachim together with the carbon. So the Mishnah discussed different, in certain situations, the animals are not active, they're not all essential. Ask the Gemara, Hani Parim Kvasim Dehecha. Exactly which carbon musaf is the Mishnah referring to? Ilayim Dechag, if you'll suggest that the Mishnah is referring to Sukkis, ask the Gemara, how can we say that it's not active, they're not absolutely all essential? Doesn't the Torah Kmishpat, Kmishpatim Ksibahu, use the word Mishpat and Mishpatim, which clearly indicates that it must be? And as Tosfos points out, that even if on the first day of Yom Tov the Torah doesn't use the word k'mishpat, k'mishpata, but the Torah does use the word yiyu. So it's the same point, that it's absolutely essential. So that's now what the Mishnah could be referring to. So there's a very interesting shaila that the Shalomeshiv and many other Achronim discuss. While the halacha, we know that on Sukkot by the Musaf, we have to mention every day different kabbonis. And we know, in fact, that every day of Yom Tov Sukkot, there were different amount of animals brought, a different amount of parim. Every day we brought one less. So ask the Shalomeshiv, what would be the halacha if somebody did not mention the right amount? He got confused that he's mentioned the musaf of a different day. What would be the halacha? Was the yotze the tefillah or not? So the Shalomeshiv makes a very interesting point. He says, although the halacha is that if one davens musaf on yontif and he doesn't mention the specific carbon, the specific details of the carbon, but he says, zeh carbon musaf ayoyim ka'omer, or he mentions the obligation to bring a carbon musaf, that is adequate. But says the Shalomeshiv, it's worse if you say the wrong thing. And he makes a very nice comparison. He says the halacha is that if somebody says yalla v'yavoy on a day that we're not required to say yalla v'yavoy, his tefillah is not a carbon. He must daven over. And the reason is, explains the Shalomeshiv, because it's considered a hefsik in the tefillah. Similarly here, he says mentioning the wrong musaf on Sukkot would be considered a hefsik and the tefillah would be disqualified. The Chaya Adam disagrees. The Chaya Adam, as we says, since as we just learned, as long as you mention the fact that you have to bring a musaf in your tefillah, that is enough. This won't be considered a hefsik. And Rav Volzner in the Tshuva Shevet Alevi uses our Gemara, discusses it in the reference of our Gemara. He says, for although our Gemara says that the kabbonis on Sukkot are ma'akiv, and you have to bring the exact carbon that the Torah prescribed, it's interesting to note, he says, that the Rambam doesn't pass in this way. Because the Rambam, the Mefarshim explained, found a Sifri that disagrees with our Gemara. And the Sifri holds that even if you said the wrong, that even if you brought the wrong amount, it's still kosher even on Sukkot. So therefore, says the Shevet HaLevi, since according to the Rambam, even if you brought the wrong amount, the carbon is a kosher carbon, that's why the saying the wrong nusach on Sukkot, the tefillah will still be a good tefillah. The Mishnah Berurah paskins like the Chai Adam. Although I did see that the Mechitz Yitzchak disagrees with the Shevet HaLevi, and Mechitz Yitzchak's approach is, he says that you can't compare a situation where somebody is actually being makriv the carbon versus somebody who's mentioning it in tefillah. And the mentioning in tefillah has a different rule, and therefore he says that in tefillah we have to say, it could be that the halacha is you have to say the right nusach, and if you don't say the right nusach, you have not been yotze your tefillah. Said the Gemara. So going back, Amish says that the kabbonis are not makriv of each other, and we're trying to identify what are we referring to. So the Gemara refers to Rosh Chodesh, that serves the Chumash Pekudah. It's referring to the carbon musaf that's born in Rosh Chodesh, and the carbon of Shavuos that's mentioned in Chumash Pekudah, which means Bamidbar. Because as we will learn extensively in today's shir, kabbonis on Shavuos are actually brought, they're mentioned in two different places in the Torah. It's mentioned in Parshas Pinchas, which is in Sefer Bamidbar, where there the Torah discusses the carbon musaf of Shavuos, and in Parashas Emor, in Seidah VaYikra, the Torah speaks about the Shtei Alechem that's brought on Shavuos, and which Kabbonos have to come along with the Shtei Alechem. And says our Mishnah, our Mishnah is referring to the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh and to the Musaf of Shavuos, that there the Mishnah is saying that they're not marked of each other. Ask the Gemara, but now let's try to understand this, what this Teretz, in light of what the Mishnah says. Elam the Hecha, where the Mishnah speaks about Elam, the two Elam abroad. either Hanu, if we're going to be speaking about Rosh Chodesh or Shavuos Musaf, the Ayahu, if there's only one Ayah brought. If, on the other hand, you're going to say it's referring to Hatzeres to Tukaris Kahanim, we're speaking about the Shtei Alechem Kabonis, but regarding the Shtei Alechem Kabonis, as the Gemara, Havayik Sibuhu, there the Torah uses the words, Ve'elim Shnayim Yu'ayla, that they're absolutely essential. Answer the Gemara, Lo'ayim, Hatzeres to Tukaris Kahanim. What we're referring to is the Shvuas Shtei Alechem Kabonis, Vachkom. This is the way to understand the Mishnah. Loi Eilim the Taurus Kohanim Ma'akvil Eil the Chumash Bekudim, Veloi Eil the Chumash Bekudim Ma'akvil Eil the Taurus Kohanim. You have to bring two Eilim with the Shtei Alechem. You have to bring one Eil as the Kavim Musaf. And the Mishnah says, the Mishnah is teaching us that these two Kabonis are two separate responsibilities, and the availability of the two Shtei Alechem Eilim don't play any role on the Musaf. And so too, vice versa. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to understand the Mishnah, Purim, when the Mishnah speaks about the Purim, Dafila Hadodi Loi Matri, that means that the Musaf Purim, as we're going to learn, the Mishnah means to say that within the Musafim, you have to bring two Purim, but if you don't have two Purim, you bring what you have. Ve'el, when the Mishnah speaks about Elim, it means to teach us the Hocha, the Hocha, the Lemakri. As we just learned, the Elim of the Shtei Lechem are not active, the Eil of the Musaf, and so too vice versa. So ask the Gemara, but Inu, certainly the Halacha is, that when you bring the two Elim of the Shtei Lechem, you have to bring both. So the way we understand Purim and the way we understand Elim in the Mishnah is very different. Purim means that even within the set that you're supposed to bring, one is a mark of the other. The Eilim means that one set is not mark of the other set, but within each set, it is mark of. Answers the Gemara, indeed, that's the way to understand the Mishnah. Mila Mila Ketani. By Purim, it's speaking about within the set of Musaf, and the Mishnah is teaching us that within the set of Musaf, you should bring what you have. Eilim, the Mishnah means the relationship between the Kabbalahs of the Shtei Alechem to the relationship of the Karban Musaf. Says the Gemara, there's a pasuk in Yecheskel, Ubiyoyim HaChodesh, Par Ben Bokar Tomim, V'sheshes Kvosim V'ayel Tomimim Yiyu. Ask the Gemara, Par Ma Tamad Loimer, the pasuk is speaking about Rosh Chodesh, and the pasuk is teaching us that we bring a par. But is that true? The Torah says that on Rosh Chodesh, we bring two Purim for the Karban Musaf. Answers the Gemara. The lesson of this pasuk is as follows. Ufishanem v'tara Purim. Because the Torah tells us that you should bring two pars. Teaches us the pasuk. Menayin shalom motzah shnayim. That if you don't have two pars, maybe echot, bring at least one. Tamaloyma, that's what the pasuk says. Par, to bring one par. Continues the Bryson explaining that pasuk. Sheshes kvasim atam aloimer. What does the pasuk mean when it says to bring sheshes kvasim? Says the Gemara. Lefisha kasim b'tarah shiva. Because the Torah tells us that really you're supposed to bring seven kvasim as the musaf of Rosh Chodesh. Umanayin teaches us this pasuk. Shemay matzah shiva yavi shisha. That if you don't have seven, bring six. Tam aloimer sheshes. Bring six. Umanayin. And how do we know shemay matzah sheshes yavi chamisha? If you don't have six, bring at least five. Chamisha yavi arba. Arba yavi shloisha, shloisha yavi shnayim, vafil echot, bring what you can, tamaloyma lekvos mashatasig yodai. You should bring whatever you could afford. Ask the Gemara, omachet eksiv hachi, not that the pasuk says, kasig yodai, bring what you can afford. Ask the Gemara, so why do we need the beginning of the pasuk that says, sheshes kvosim, lomali, why do we need the beginning of the pasuk if the halacha is that you can bring whatever you can, and that we learn from the end of the pasuk? Answers the Gemara, to teach us the common efshal haduri madrina. You should do as much as you can. In other words, that if you can bring, you can't bring all seven, but you could bring six, don't say, since I can't bring all seven, I'll only bring one or two. Bring the maximum that you're able to do. Continues the Gemara, Menayin Shem Akvin Zeh. How do we know that they're ma'ak of each other? Tamalan Yiyu. There are many shotim in these last words, Umanayin Shemakmazazah. One shot is that when you have all seven, how do we know you have to bring all seven? That's why we lose the word yield. That's one way of learning. Another way that Rishonim suggest is that we just finished learning that a person should bring whatever he can afford. Teaches us the pasuk. Now let's say you could afford six. How do we know that all six become absolutely essential? We learn that from the word yield. Another pshat, however, Tosfos teaches us is that this pasuk is teaching us that the Chachamim disagree with Rav Shimon. And we learned that the Mishnah of Rav Shimon says that it's better to bring less animals, but bring along kvasim. Teaches us this pasuk, no, that it's better to bring animals than to bring mesachim. The Rambam has a different pshat. The Rambam says that the pasuk is teaching us that if you brought as many animals as you were able to, and then one of the animals becomes disqualified, how do I know that all the animals become disqualified? That's what this pasuk teaches us, that if you brought animals and one becomes disqualified, then all the rest become disqualified as well. Interesting question, which is based on this Gemara. We know that on Hanukkah, when we light the Hanukkah menorah, the Mahadran light one candle for each individual every night. The Mahadran and the Mahadran, according to the way we pass can light Beis Hillel, every night we add a candle. The first night we light one candle, second night we light two candles, the third night we light three candles. And the question the Pesukim discuss is, what is the halacha if there's an individual who only has two candles, it's on the third night? How many candles should he light? Should he light one candle, like the Mahadran, or should he light two? So there are many that Achronim that wanted to say it depends on why Beis Hillel holds you add a candle every night. If the reason is because of Mal and Bekodesh, that we want to light more, then certainly on the second night, on the third night, you should light as much as you can. But if the reason is Keneged Hayomim Hayotzim, then the halacha would be, since today is the third day, lighting two candles doesn't have any meaning. Interesting to note that Rashach and the Sefer Avi Ezri disagrees, and he says that everybody would agree that no matter what opinion we understand, no matter what is the basis for Beis Hillel's opinion, we should light as many candles are as available. So I saw that there are Paiskin that want to say that our Gemara should be a raya that that is indeed the halacha, because our Gemara has taught us kam de efshalah haduri madrina, you should do whatever you can. But the question is that indeed true? Because really, that question, that this raya will depend on which pshat of the Rishonim we understand our Gemara. Because as we quoted, one opinion of Rishonim is that where is there a halacha that you should do everything that you have to do? That's only when you're bringing all seven. So when you're doing what you're supposed to do, everything is ma'akif. Here you're not doing what you're supposed to do because you're supposed to light three candles tonight and you're only lighting two. But if we say that even when you're not doing as much as you're supposed to do, but whatever you have, you should do the best you can, then the halacha would be that even if you're as much as you can light two, then you should certainly light two and not just light three. So the Gemara continues mentioning certain psukim in Yecheskel were somewhat difficult to understand. The pasuk says, "Koy Omer Hashem Elokim, Berishim Be'ech LaChodesh, Tikar Par Ben Bokeh Tomim, V'Chiteisa Es HaMikdash. Take a par for Kamechatos." Ask the Gemara, Chiteisa, is the par brought for Kamechatos? Oyvehi, the par is brought for Karben Oyla. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says there is no way to understand this pasuk. Par Shazu Eliyah Osel Adarsha. Eliyah is going to have to tell us Pshat in the pasuk. We can't figure out Pshat in the pasuk. So I saw the Mefarshim ask, if we need to wait for Mashiach to understand this pasuk, so why does the Gemara say Eliyahu is going to be the one to teach us? Yecheskel should be the one to teach it to us when Mashiach comes. Yecheskel will be here. Yecheskel can explain to us what he meant. So I saw three terutz. One terutz is that before Mashiach comes, Eliyahu Navi will first come before Tchias HaMeisim. So the Gemara means as soon as Eliyahu HaNavi comes, he'll be able to explain his pshat in the pasuk. We will not need to wait till Tchias HaMeisim when Yecheskel comes. A second pshat that I saw is that Eliyahu is here even in this world. People see Eliyahu Navi even in this world. And therefore, we don't need to wait for Mashiach. People who are worthy will have Eliyahu come in this world to explain to them shot of this pasuk. A third pshat that I saw is a very interesting pshat. We know that the Gemara says that Eliyahu HaNavi never passed away. Yecheskel certainly, of course, did pass away. So pshat in the Gemara goes as follows. In order to have pshat in a pasuk, we have to have a mesaira on the pasuk. So Eliyahu HaNavi, who never left this world, has a Messiah. It was an unbroken chain. And therefore, he is the individual who could tell us pshat in a pasuk. Whereas, Yecheskel, who left the world, so his Messiah, so to speak, was broken. A person who doesn't have a Messiah cannot be the one to teach us Torah. But Ashyamer, Miluim Hikriva B'mei Ezra, what the pasuk refers to are the Miluim that were brought when Ezra rebuilt the second base of Migdash. Kederach Shikriva B'bei Moshe. That's the way Rashi explains the Gemara, that the Gemara is teaching us that when Ezra rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash, he brought Miluim the same way Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, brought Miluim when the Mishkan was erected. However, most Rishonim learn differently than Rashi. And most Rishonim say that the Gemara here is referring to the Beis HaMikdash Shlishi. And the Basak is teaching us that when the Beis HaMikdash Shlishi will be built, Miluim will be brought just like Miluim were brought when Moshe Rabbeinu erected the Mishkan. And says the Gemara Tanya Nami Hochi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Parshizu Eliyahu Oslo Darshot. When Rabbi Yehuda learned this pasuk, he said only Eliyahu could explain us this pasuk. Omer Rabbi Yossi, Miluim Hikruva Mei Ezra, the Miluim were brought in Mei Ezra, Kedirav Shikruva Mei Moshe. As Moshe Rabbeinu brought Miluim when he put up the Mishkan, Amalai, when Rabbi Yehuda heard Rabbi Yossi's explanation, he said to him, "Tnuach datcha shenach distati." And he gave him a bracha because you gave me pshat in this pasuk. So I saw the mafarsh and asked, "So why did not all the Tanoim agree that we have pshat in this pasuk? What does Rabbi Yochanan say that only Eliyahu could explain the pasuk? Rabbi Yochanan was an Amayru who came later. So some say because the carbon." That we see that Ezra brought, that the pasuk refers to, is not the same age ego as the animal that Moshe Rabbeinu brought. Tosfos disagrees because Tosfos says they both said it means a 2-year-old cow. So others say because the dates weren't the same. And the third pshat that I saw is based actually on what the Brisker Rav says. We know that many times the Gemara discusses Kitchel Rishon and Kitchel Shata, the Kitchel Asalavai. That the original Kedusha will remain for all future generations. So if the original Kedusha remains for all future generations, there is no need to bring a new Miluim. Because the Beis HaMikdash, the Makom HaMikdash already has the Kedusha. And that is Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. It's interesting to note that I saw that Chaim Kanievsky in his Sefer Tam of the Krah explains now we understand why in the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh we add in our Tefillah Mezbeach Chodosh B'tzion Tochin for Oilus Rosh Chodesh Nalolov. Why in the middle of the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, he says, do we speak about the rebuilding of the Mezbeach? She says, based on our Gemara, that our Gemara is teaching us that Rosh Chodesh Nissan, that's the Nevuah of Yecheskel, is when there will be the new inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi. So that's what we refer to when we daven Musaf and we mention it. In fact, the Yaivitz in his Siddur Beis Yaakov says that there were people that the first 8 days of Nisan would mention in their Musaf davening, they would mention in their davening the Inyan of Mashiach, because our Gemara is teaching us that during those 8 days is when we will have the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi. There's another difficult pasuk in Yecheskel. Says the Gemara, V'kol ne'evel v'trei from an oif from an behema lo yoichu ha-kahanim. The pasuk seems to teach us that ne'evel and trei for kahanim may not eat. Is the question, kahanim hu de lo yoichu? Ha-yisrael achlu? Does it mean that only Kohanim may not eat Nevela? Yisrael, I'm allowed to eat nevela. Amar Yochanan, so again, Rabbi Yochanan says, Pashizu Elio Osla Darsha. Elio is going to be one to say pshat in this pasuk. Ravina Amar, Kahanim Yetzirkalei. No. Yecheskel had to tell us the Kahanim may not eat nevela. Kosal Kedata Kamina. Hoyo v'ishtri malika l'gabayu, since Kahanim are allowed to eat kabonis with malika, which we know malika is, if we would kill an animal or a bird that way, the bird would be a nevela. So we would think that tishtri nami nevela v'treifa, that nevela and treifa should be mutter for Kahanim at all times, kamash malan, that Kahanim may not eat nevela v'treifa. The Rishonim explained, why did the Gemara speak about nevela v'treifa? The Rishonim explained, because when a bird is killed with malika, first they break the spine, makes it into a treifa, and then it becomes a nevela. And that's why we would think that Kahana may be able to eat treifa of a nevela. There's a very famous question that we've quoted previously that Rav Yosef Engel, in his Sefer Aspen Daraisa, discusses. He asks, well, we learned that the halacha is that Kohanim are allowed to eat kachim that are killed with malika. What does that to mean? Does it mean that as far as the Kohanim are concerned, an animal killed with malika is not a nevela? Just like when we kill an animal with shchita, the Kohanim are supposed to kill animals in the Beis Hamikdash with malika, and it's not a nevela? Or are we to understand it that if it's a nevela, just the Torah said that Kohanim may eat nevela? So from our Gemara, says Rav Yosef Engel, it seems that pshat is that it's a nevela. Because the Gemara wants to say that because Kahanim are allowed to eat nevela there, we may think that they can eat nevela everywhere. That's why, says the Gemara, we need a pasuk to teach us not that way. So from here we see that's clearly considered a nevela. And in fact, he goes on to say that perhaps is the machloikis of Ravina and Rav Yochanan. Ravina says that a bird killed with malika is a nevela. And that's why Yecheskel had to come teach us that maybe we should make the mistake of believing that Kahanim are always allowed to eat nevelas. Whereas Rav Yochanan doesn't consider it a nevela, so there's no room for such an error, and that's why he could not agree with Ravina's explanation of the pasuk. Furthermore, the Rishonim say that the Gemara never meant to say that there was a havmina that Kahanim could eat an animal just killed. The Gemara meant to say that we would think that Kahanim are allowed to eat animals that are killed with malika, and not that they can be killed any other way. So then, I saw that the Achronim ask a question. The halacha is, the Torah teaches us, regarding an avela, L'gerash v'sherecha titnena. What the Pasuk says, L'gerash v'sada treif v'leisechelu, L'kelev tashlichin asayim. If it would be correct that Kohanim may eat nevela, so why should we give it to a ger? Why should we give the treifa to a dog? Why not give it to the kohen? Isn't that clearly a raya that they may not get it? So why would we need a pasuk in Yecheskel? So I saw a number of terutzim. One terutz is that there was never a havmina that the Kohanim should be able to eat nevela only by kachshim. The pasuk is not talking about kachshim. Another teretz is that based on what we just said a moment ago, the havmina of the Gemara was that Kahanim should be allowed to eat the vela, but only such the vela that had malika. Here we're referring, the pasuk is referring to the vela that just was killed without malika. Another teretz that I saw was that the havmina was that Kahanim should be allowed to eat only birds, where we find in the Torah that the Kahanim could eat with malika. But the Torah in those psukim that we quoted is speaking about meat, not animal meat, not poultry. Similarly, there's a question that the Achronim asked, that if the halacha would be that Kahanim are allowed to eat nevela, the halacha is that someone who is not required to eat only meat that's slaughtered properly cannot be a shaychet. So if the halacha were to be that Kahanim can eat nevela, how could a kohen ever be a shaychet? So according to terutzim that we just gave, that this is only done by kachim, that this is a din only by oifis, this question isn't such a difficult question. Others say that even Kahanim would require Shechita to take away Isser Eivir Menachai. And since they require Shechita to because of Eivir Menachai, that's why they would certainly be kosher or shaychtim, and even if we would think that they're allowed to eat Nevela. Another tariff that I saw is that even if a Kayin were to allow to eat Nevelas, the Trefus, he certainly would be usher to feed Nevelas for Trefus to a Yisrael. And since he would be usher to feed Nevelas for Trefus to Yisrael, so we see that he is related to the parasha of Shechita, and therefore, even if he would be allowed to eat the veils for Trefus, he would still be a kosher shaychet. Another difficult pasuk in Yecheskel. The pasuk says, "V'kein tasa b'shiv b'kodesh mishoyge u'mipesi v'kiparte mesabayis." The pasuk speaks about a carbon that seems to be brought on the 7th of Nisan. Shiva. So how do we discuss? But there is no special carbon brought on the 7th day of Nisan. How do we understand this pasuk? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Eilu Shiva Shvatim Shechatu. We're referring to a situation, as we learned in Masech Tahoris. The Torah speaks about a parasha, a par helam davish otzibur, where based on an erroneous psak abezdin that was acted upon, that if somebody did an avera, for which, if he did it b'mezid, he'd be chayiv karis, the halach is that there's a par helam davish otzibur brought. Teaches us, Rabbi Yochanan, the pasuk in Yecheskel teaches us, Eilu Shiva Shvatim Shechatu, if 7 Shvatim did an Aveira, even though they don't represent the majority of Klal Yisrael, they have to bring the Parham Dava Shechad Tzibur. Because it continues the Gemara. Chadash, in Chidshu, if the Sanhedrin said a Chiddush, an incorrect Chiddush, the Vamru Chayla Mutter, Me'ish Shogun Pesi, because they made an error, Melamed Shein Chayovim Ela Halam Dava Shugis Maisa, that if 7 Shvatim acted upon that erroneous psak, it will be, but they have to act on it, not just receive the psak, there's an obligation to bring a parahelm dover shetzibur. Tosfos points out that this doesn't seem to be following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that we learned the Masechta Harius is of the opinion that every shevet brings its own parahelm dover shetzibur. Unless Tosfos says it's talking about that it was each shevet only a minority of the Shevet brought the Avera, that their Sanhedrin has to bring. If we had such a situation with 7 of the Shvatim, the Beznan would bring the Parham Dov Shetzibur. Says the Gemara Amar Yehuda Marav, Zohar ha'osho ish l'toif, v'chananya b'chizki yishamoy, shemalehu, if not for him, nigna seif yecheskel. They would have put away seif yecheskel. She'edvorov soysim divrei Torah. As we've been learning, there are many psukim in Yecheskel that seem to contradict what it says in the Torah. Ma'asa, what did he do? Hela shloish meis gavri shemen, he brought up 300 barrels of oil, v'yosher ba'aliyah v'darshay, and he sat in his attic until he explained these psukim. In fact, as the Mefarshim point out, we find in a number of places of Shas that the Talmidei Chachamim came up to visit him there. There's the famous Gemara Masechta Shabbos that speaks about the Shmoyne Esra Dover, Masechta Shabbos, Taf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, that were discussed in that Aliyah. I saw two very nice perspectives to what Chananya ben Chizkiah did, Chanina ben Chizkiah. One is that he taught us that in order for one to be able to succeed in his learning, he has to seclude himself and sit and learn undisturbed. And that's why he went up to the attic where no one could bother him. But then I saw a beautiful pshat from the Ben Yehoyada. The Ben Yehoyada says that pshat here is to be understood that he took up 300 barrels of oil. It was a tremendous amount. He was prepared, says the Ben Yehoyada, to be secluded for a very long time until he was able to come to write pshat, to say correct pshat, and all these psukim. because he was willing to take this upon himself, says the Ben Yoyada, he was zaycha that he learned pshat quickly and he did not have to remain that long up there. So we learned in the Mishnah, in Arab Shimon HaHayim and Par Merubim, if he had, that they had enough funds to buy many animals, but they didn't have the Sachim, so Shimon's opinion is, rather buy the Sachim than bring all the animals. Tan Rabbana, we learn in a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Ve'eful Par, Ve'eful Ayo Yasa Mincha. This too is a Pasuk in Yechezkel. Ve'kvasim Kashatasi Yodoy, Ve'shemin Him Le'eful. Ask the Gemara, Omer of Shimon, V'chimidas Parim Ve'elam Achasi, is the amount of oil, the amount of flour, the same by a par and an ayil? Is it the halacha that by a par you bring 3 isarin, and by an ayil you bring 2 isarin? Ella, the pasuk teaches us, "Himhayilam par merubim, v'loyam l'sachim." They indeed have many parim, but they don't have all the nesachim. Is the halacha yavi? It's better to bring par echad and nesachim, to bring one par and its nesachim, v'ayikruv kulam b'loy nesachim, rather than bringing them all without the nesachim. The mehayil lahem elam merubim. Similarly, if you have many elam v'loy hayilam efasim, but you don't have enough to bring the minchas nesachim, says the pasuk according to Shimon, yovu ayil echavi efasai. It's better to bring one ayil with a current mincha v'loy yovu kulam, rather than bringing them all without the Michas Nesachim. So as we learned, on Shavuos they brought the Shtei HaLechem. The Shtei HaLechem came along with a carbon oil that had in it one par, 2 elim, and 7 kvasim, and a chatos of one sawyer, and 2 kvasim for carbon shlom. As we're going to learn, clearly in our Mishnah and Gemara, the Shtei HaLechem were most connected with these 2 carbon shlomim, these two animals that were brought for carbon shlomim. And in fact, as we're going to learn, they were waved together, there was tanufa together. And the Gemara now says, Hapar ve'elam v'kvasim v'asor en maknas alechem. Even if you don't have all of these other animals, the chatos and the oilo, you still can bring the Shtei HaLechem, V'lai HaLechem Akfa, and you can bring those kabbanis even if you don't have the Shtei HaLechem. However, continues the Mishnah, HaLechem Akiv is a kvasim. You have to have the lechem in order to bring the 2 elim for carbon shlomim. However, then a kvasim Akiv is a lechem. If you don't have the kvasim, you can still bring the lechem. Divrei Rabbi Kiva, that is the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Or Rabbi Shimon ben Anas, Rabbi Shimon says just the opposite. Loi ki. El kvasim akimus alechem, v'lekav enim akimus kvasim. Just the opposite. If you have the kvasim, even though you don't have the lechem, you could bring them for carbon shlomim. But if you don't have the lechem, you cannot bring the kvasim. She came with Sinu, and he brings a very nice raya. Shekhar Yisrael b'midbar, when Klai Yisrael was in the midbar, Abraham Shana Kav Kvasim below Lechem. For 40 years they brought the Kvasim even though they didn't have Lechem in the Midbar. Afkan, so to hear, says Shimon ben Anas, Yikvu Kvasim below Lechem. They should bring the Kvasim without the Lechem. So the question is, why didn't they have Lechem in the Midbar? So many Rishonim are of the opinion, because the Lechem that must be used for the Shtei Lechem has to be grain from Eretz Yisrael, which they obviously did not have in the Midbar, and therefore they could not have Lechem in the Midbar. Others say that we know that they didn't have Lechem in the Midbar, they lived off Mon. The problem with that approach is to say that they didn't have Lechem in the Midbar is difficult, because we know that they had Lechem Haponim in the Midbar, and the Lechem Haponim they must have bought from Tagrim, from different merchants that came around. So if they had the lechem upon him, they also could have had lechem for the Shtei HaLechem. So that's why this pshat is somewhat difficult. certainly all the Rishonim point out that you cannot use the man to shtei alechem, because even though the man tasted like whatever you wanted it to taste, and in fact the halacha is, the Nagid Yehuda discusses it, if someone ate man, they had to say birchas hamazon. The halacha is that still doesn't have the din of lechem that it could be used for shtei halechem. Interesting question. If we're learning now, at least according to one pshat, or maybe both pshatim, that they didn't have lechem in the midbar, we know that certain of the malachas on Shabbos, all malachas on Shabbos, are learned from what was done for the Mishkan. And Harisha and Zriya are the first two malachas mentioned. And Harish and Zriya are involved in planting and plowing and planting. But now we're saying that that didn't take place in the Midbar. So how did they do it for the Mishkan? So some Mepharshim want to suggest that there were two stages of their time in the Midbar. In Midbar Sinai, where they made the Mishkan, they were able to plant and plow. And therefore Harish and Zriya are malachas. When they came to Midbar HaGadol, where they remained most of the years that they were in the Midbar, there was no Harish and Zriya. Another pshat that I saw the Mepharshim suggest is, of course, they had no Harish and Zriya in the Midbar. And the bread that they used in the Mishkan, they bought from merchants, peddlers that traveled through the Midbar. But since they had to do Harish and Zriya to be able to make the bread that they sold to Bnei Yisrael, that is enough to consider, to make it be considered, that Harish and Zriya are malachim. Amar Rav Shimon ben Anas says, Rav Shimon ben Anas, Hilchos HaKedivrei ben Anas, Aval Ein Tam Kedvarim. The halachos of Shimon ben Anas did not like him. So Tosfos asks, why is the Mishnah passing that the halacha is like ben Anas? This is Hilchos HaMashiachah. Unfortunately, the halachos that we're discussing are not relevant. Svasemis wants to say a whole pshat that it depends on what we should say on the Musaf HaShvuas, but the Mepharshim suggests that pshat in the Mishnah is that halacha kishim bananas, that of course the Mishnah wouldn't pass like by bananas. What Rav Shimon is trying to emphasize, that even though halachically I agree with bananas, I want to make it clear that I don't agree with his explanation. Says the Gemara, because certainly shakala amav v'chumash v'kudim karbe midbar. Everything, all the carbon musaf that we found in Parashat Pinchas was brought in the Midbar. The Kolam of Taurus Kahanim, everything mentioned in Parashat Emor, and carved the Midbar. Mishikar Lartz, when they came to Tzrol, carved Elu v'Elu. Everything was brought. But Nehemi Omer, so if so, that this is the din, Nehemi Omer, Yikvu Kvasim Bloy Lechem, that the Kvasim are essential, not the Lechem. Until we have shechita of the kvasim, we cannot eat the kvasim, and therefore the kvasim are considered a matir. The loy alechem b'loy kvasim, there's nothing to make the lechem, there's no maisa matir, there's no like maisa of a shechita on the lechem that we matir the kvasim. Tanabon. The pasuk says, the kraftem, regarding the shtei alechem, the kraftem al alechem, choyv al alechem. Shivas kvasim tamimim, api shein lechem. To teach us, even if you don't have lechem, it's fine. Ask the Gemara, imke matam aloy mal alechem, lamish le neschayv of the kvasim, that they weren't obligated to bring the kvasim that come along with the shtei lechem, kodmish neschayv of lechem, before they could bring the lechem. Divrei Rav Tarfon. Rav Akiva Omer, yochal hein hein kvasim amurim kan, that the kvasim that are mentioned in Pashas Emor and Seyd of Yikra, Hein Hein Kvasim Amur B'Chamish B'Kudim, are the same Kvasim mentioned in Sefer, in Pashas Pinchas, in Seyd of Midbar, or Marta. Kshata Magia, Eitzel Parim V'Elim, when you learn the Pashas, you'll see Hein Hein, they're not the same. Because in Pashas Emor, the Torah speaks about one power and two Kvasim, whereas in Sefer Pinchas, in Parashat Pinchas, the Torah speaks about two parim and one kevis. El alo abon b'klal atzmon. These are brought, the kabbonists mentioned in Parashat Pinchas are for carbon mince, musaf, v'alam v'am b'glal lechem, and the carbonus brought mentioned in say in Parashas Emor are brought for the shtei lechem. Nimsa. From here we see masham b'chumash b'kudin, the carbonus that were mentioned in Parashas Pinchas, the carbon musaf, carbon midbar were brought in the midbar. Umash amr b'taras kahanim. But the kabbonis that were brought with the shtei alechem, like carbon midbar, was not brought in the midbar. Ask the Gemara, the Dilma, parim ve'elam lav ininu. The parim ve'elam are not the same. Hakvisim ininu. Both of them mention the same amount of kvasim. Maybe they're the same. Answers the Gemara, midahani ishtenu. If the parim ve'elam are not the same, it must be that the kvasim are also different. Ask the Gemara, the parim ve'elam are ishtenu. How do you know the parim ve'elam are not the same? Maybe the way to understand the Torah is the Torah is not speaking about two different sets, but what the Torah is giving us the option. Either you could bring one parim and two elim, or you could bring two parim in one aisle. Answers the Gemara. Since we find that the sequence in which the Torah mentions the Kabbonis is not the same sequence here and there, in Seyd Vayikra, the Kvasim are mentioned first. First the Kvasim, Shivas Kvasim, Tamimim B'nei Shana, Uparbekar Echad, Vayil Shnayim. And in Bamidbar, the Torah speaks about Parm B'nei Bakl Shnayim, Ayil Echad, Shiva Kvasim B'nei Shana. That's a Raya, that these are totally two different sets of Kabbalahs. So we learned the Mechleikus in the Mishnah. What is the primary part? The Shtei Kvasim or the lechem? Halechem akvas kvasim. According to the Kiva, it's the lechem which is more important. According to bananas, it's the kvasim that are more important. Ask the Gemara, my time of the Kiva. Ask the Gemara, goma yiyu mitiyenu. He learns Xer Shava, that here it says the word yiyu, and the Torah says the word tiyenu at the beginning of the parasha. Here the Torah says, v'hein if hakoyin oisim alechem abikurim tnufu lefnei Hashem, Ashnei Kvasim Kodesh Yul Hashem L'Koyin. At the beginning of the parash, it says, Lechem Tenufim Shnayim Shnei Esrayim Soilus Tiyena. Just like, says the Gemara, Ma'ala Halon, just like at that pasuk, it means regarding the Lechem. Afkan, it means the Lechem. And the Torah teaching us, Yiyu, that the Lechem is what's critical. Ubananis, Goma Yiyu. He learns the following Zerish of it. Here we just read the Torah says the words Yiyu regarding the Lechem. As I read, V'dein of HaKoyin Oysim HaLechem HaBikurim Tenufu L'fnei Hashem Ashnei Kvasim Kodesh Yiyu L'Hashem L'Koyin. And the Torah regarding the Kvasim says Shivas Kvasim Tumimim B'nei Shono U'par Ben Bakar Echad V'ayim Shnayim Yiyu Oyel Hashem. Just like there we learn Ma'al HaHalon, the Pasuk Yiyu is referring to the Kvasim, Afkan Kvasim. And as the Shita points out, didn't Benanis give a different explanation in our Mishnah why he holds the Kvasim are essential? So the Shita explains that was only because, as we see in our Gemara, that there are two different Gzeres Shavas that can be learned. So the question was, which is the right Gzeres Shava? So Benanis used the concepts, the Svaris, that he said in the Mishnah to prove that his Gzeres Shava is correct. Ask Mar Bananas Nami Nailuf Mitiyana. So the Mefarshim asked, how could he learn a Gzeres Shava on his own? He could only learn a Gzeres Shava that you heard from your Rebbe. So the Mefarshim explained, the Sfaseva says, that there was a Gzeres Shava. The only question was, which is the proper Gzeres Shava? For that, he had a Machlokes. What is the proper Gzeres Shava? Benanis Nami Nailuf Mitiyana. Malaham Lechem, to agree with Rabbi Kiva, just like there means Lechem Afkan Lechem. Answer the Gemara, Donim Yiyu Miyu. Benanis holds the match of Yiyu Yiyu is a better match than Donim Yiyu Mitiyana. Ask the Gemara, is that a question? Mine ask me no. Do we have to have an exact word to learn a Gzeres Shava? Or Tana the Beir Bishmol? The pasuk says v'shava koyim uba koyim zeh shiva zeh bia. This is regarding a house that has a nega. Where the Torah teaches us that if a house has a nega, it should be sequestered for 7 days, and if after 7 days the nega spread, you have to take out the stones where there was a nega. You have to scrape off the cement that was around that area, and then you put in new stones. If after the second week the kohen comes back and he sees that there's a nega again, the house has to be demolished. That is if the nega spread after 1 week. But if the nega did not spread after 1 week, it only spread after 2 weeks, then the house is not immediately demolished, but we go through this entire procedure that we just mentioned. And how do we know that? Because we learn it from Gzeira Shava. Because the Torah says, V'shava kohen b'yom yeshiva rov v'nei pasal nega b'kiras habayis. And then all the pasuk says, regarding where it only took 2 weeks for it to happen, or v'ra kohen v'ra v'nei pasal nega b'bayis tzuras v'meresi b'bayis tamehu. So we learn Gzeira Shava, zu yeshiva zeirin b'ya. So why are you saying that you have to have an exact match? Answers the Gemara, Hanimili, when do we say that you don't have to have an exact match? Heichad, the luck of the Domilei, where there is no exact words. But Heichad, the ik of the Domilei, if we have an exact match, with the Domilei Yapinim. So asks the Gemara, if so, Rabbi Kiva Nami Leil of Miyu Miyu. So why doesn't Rabbi Kiva agree with Ben Anas? Answers the Gemara, Donan Davish Matan Lekoyin, Davish Matan Lekoyin. We'd rather learn Lechem from Lechem, Lefukehani, than to learn Lechem from Oilus, because the animals are oilus. Bibay Seima, another way to understand the machlok between Bekiva and Bananas, is the crew gufi kamil with me. The argument how to understand the pasuk. The pasuk says, Kodesh yil Hashem l'koyim. Rav Kiva sova, eze dava shikula l'koyim. What goes entirely to the koyim? Have oimer ze lechem. The lechem goes to the koyim, so obviously that's what the pasuk is referring to. A bananas, niksiv kodesh yil l'koyim. Kodesh yil Hashem l'koyim siv. What is partially goes to Hashem, partially to the Kayin. Have an Omer, Kfasim. Because the Amram are burnt on the Mizbeach, and the meat is given to the Kayin. Rabbi Kiva, Miksiv, Kodesh Yul Hashem Lakayin. It doesn't say Kodesh Yul Hashem Vir with the Vav before Lakayin. Lashem Lakayin Ksiv. And the lesson of the Pasuk is what Rav Huna teaches us. The Rav Huna Kon Hashem, it's Hashem's, the Nosnul Kohen, and he gave it to the Kohen. But, and therefore, says Rav Kiva, it makes more sense to say it's referring to the Lechem, which are given in their entirety to the Kohen.